rest of the story. Hyman Arlock had gone dry. It seemed particularly unfair, considering he'd not been writing songs all that long to begin with, only a few years, actually, and now in his early 30s, Hy was completely out of tunes. For days that seemed like years, he shuffled about the house, occasionally sitting down at the piano, striking a provocative chord, but the random sonorities did nothing to inspire, and Hy's fretting grew steadily more fretful. "My career is over," he told wife Anya. Perhaps, he pondered, he could return to playing the piano for bands, for arranging the music of others. But Anya, smiling sympathetically, answered only, "Let's go to the movies." She would drive. Night had fallen. The wide tree-lined street was dark and quiet. Up ahead, the bright city lights sparkled, and Hy was strangely quiet. And then suddenly he told Anya, "Stop the car. Pull over to the curb." She did. And there, scribbling furiously in his notebook, beneath the light of a drugstore window, Hyman Arlock proved to himself that he could still write a song. This is the rest of the story. Tentatively, Hy's tune wound up in a movie. That is, the director filmed a scene with it and included it in the first rough cut. And then somebody timed the entire picture. Most everybody agreed it was far too long. The director called a meeting, informed Hy we're pulling the song. It was not only because they needed to cut something for time, Hy was told. The piece was just too sentimental. Others in the meeting supported the director's point of view. Nobody's going to sing that song anyway, a music publisher said. It's way over the heads of the teenage audience. So that was it. They wanted the teenagers to approve, and yet Hy couldn't help but believe that people of all ages would take his song to heart. There was only one hope now, to appeal to the head of the studio himself, Louis Mayer. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of haggling, but it worked. And the song stayed. It's difficult to imagine a composer like Hyman Arlock, whom you know as Harold Arlen, ever going dry. After all, this was the terrific, prolific talent that had wielded the pen, that had penned "I've Got the World on a String," "Stormy Weather," "I Love a Parade," "It's Only a Paper Moon," "Let's Fall in Love," that old black magic, "Come Rain or Come Shine." But now, whenever you hear a Harold Arlen tune, I hope you'll see a man sitting in a car, jotting down an idea by the light of a Schwab drugstore window. And you will recall that director Victor Fleming almost got his way and thus nearly consigned to oblivion the song with which the movie's young star would be forever identified. The melody that has echoed in the hearts of each generation since. And I mean the hearts of persons of all ages. A tune which for long anxious moments was officially missing from The Wizard of Oz is that masterwork called Over the Rainbow. Now you know the rest of the story.